is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It is great to be with you again here at Bible Home Church, and we're glad you're with us today because we're going to continue our really tremendous series that we've been involved in for a couple of weeks now. But before we do, if you'd like to contribute to the church's work, and if you'd like to make some comments, or if you have a prayer need, we'd love to hear from you. Now, today's message, this continuing series, is how you can escape the pollution and bondage of this world. But before we begin that, we're going to have a song from the great Vestal Goodman. Boy, she's got a strong voice. It's a beautiful voice. So talented by the Lord. Here is Sister Vestal Goodman. She's going to sing There's Something About a Mountain.
Sometimes I'm disappointed by the friends that I hold dear. I refuse to be defeated by the ghost of doubt and fear. I could think about my weakness, keep my eyes upon. Oh, but my help comes from the mountain that brings me close to God.
Oh.
a Methodist church here in Austin, Texas, said we can draw people if we start having dramas and plays. And they had My Fair Lady and these other plays. Have nothing to do with the Bible or Jesus. There's some churches that are literally having rock and roll concerts, R-rated movies. Promised Land Church in Austin, Texas has a Christian rock and roll Christian TV show called Austin Awakening. Friends, Austin is not awakening to rock and roll in a Christian church. In fact, I don't believe there is such a thing as Christian rock and roll. There's no Christian adultery. There's no Christian liquor. And there cannot be a Christian rock and roll. Just the way it is. I believe these people are in fact in bondage to the world. They can't seem to separate from the world. And they can't seem to distinguish between what is of God and what is of the world. They don't understand it when Jesus said, render unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. He didn't mean to bring in Caesar's world into the church. In fact, he doesn't mean that you can be a hellion like Caesar and have that attitude in the church. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 is very clear. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, says verse 17, passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. James 4, verse 4, boy, it tells it like it is. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, a lot of people have complimented me, and I appreciate it. They say, Tex, why aren't you on 1,000 radio stations? Why aren't you on television? Well, because we don't have the money for it. But I guess God's given us exactly the amount of money He wants to give us. And we're happy doing what we're doing. And it means the world doesn't much care for us. Some people have written to me and said, you know, why don't you try to get radio stations to pay you to be on their stations? Well, if I was politically correct, they might do that. I've actually had a number of companies to contact this ministry and tell us that if we would run commercials during our program for them, they would sponsor our radio program. I've had two different companies that sell gold coins. Gold coins and gold bars. These investment companies. And they say, Tex, gold and silver are good investments. And let us do commercials on your radio show. Just 2 minutes of commercials, and we'll pay all the bills for your radio show. And I've told them flat no. Now, here's why. Here's why we don't want commercial sponsors. There again, we cannot tell you the truth. What if God has me research and find out that gold and silver are not such good investments? And frankly, most of the time, they have not been good investments. For the last 20 years, gold has been a crummy investment. Oh, it goes up a little bit sometime, then it goes down. But I'm not here to talk about the viability of the gold markets. I'm simply saying that's not what God called me to do, to sell gold and silver coins. I'm not here to make money by selling you things. If I did, I'd just go ahead and turn this radio program into the Home Shopping Network. We offer books and audio tapes and videos that we believe will edify you and serve the cause of Jesus Christ. That's all we offer. We've had many people that have come and wanted to buy our mailing list. And they said, you know, Tex, you've got this big mailing list, thousands of names on it. That's worth money. Can we offer these people this particular product or that product? Will you sell us your mailing list? And we say, absolutely not. I'll actually give somebody
the names to write to you if they're offering something that will please the Lord Jesus. But I've never had anybody like that. They all want to offer some kind of a product. And, some kind of a plaque or some kind of a whatnot, or I don't know what all they've, you know. Somebody wanted to buy our list, and they wanted to offer little bears. That's right, stuffed toys that had Bible verses on their foreheads. And I just laughed, said, absolutely not. We're not going to give people's names out like that. We don't do that. We're not going to sell names for commercial products. Could we make money off of that? Sure, there's money in a mailing list, but we're not going to do that. That's ridiculous. For one thing, my friends, I respect you too much to sell your name to others so they can try to sell you their products. So if you get some advertisement in the mail wanting you to buy clothing or auto products or whatever, you can believe I didn't give them your name and address. I would never do that to you. I respect you too much, and I respect the cause of God. Now, a lot of people don't understand why it is we cannot be friends with the world. They say, but look at Billy Graham. He's at the top of the world's most admired list. Why, even has a star on the Hollywood sidewalk of fame. Indeed, he does. And I believe he has gone into bondage with the world. He's in bondage. My friends, they don't invite me to the White House teas and coffees. I remember some years ago, Jerry Falwell expressed such delight that President Bush would invite him to the White House functions. I remember Billy Graham bragged that Hollywood stars and the media were invited to a big White House banquet for Bill Clinton, and he went. And oh, they gave the toast. I remember Sharon Stone, the pagan actress, got up and she offered a toast to Bill Clinton because he made sure that women still had a right to abort their babies. She stood right up there and they gave a big toast. They put up their glasses of wine or champagne, whatever they're drinking, and she says, I propose a toast to the president because he's made sure that women can still have the right to choose abortion. And there was Bill Clinton and Hillary, and there was Billy Graham participating in this incredible toast of abortion. Reminds me a little bit of the story in Daniel, you know, where the handwriting, the finger came up on the wall and began to write. And that was the end of that kingdom. And someday God's going to do that. I expect it could come at a time when most of America's religious leaders have been invited to the White House. And they'll be told by the president about the new faith-based initiative program. We want your church to get government money. Of course, now you're going to have to agree not to preach the gospel. Even the Salvation Army now has already agreed. I believe the Salvation Army is the finest humanitarian organization in the world. I believe they're more honest than the United Way or any other group that I know of. I do. I believe they really try to clothe and give shelter to the homeless and help people. I hold the Salvation Army in very high esteem. And yet, did you know that because the Salvation Army now accepts government grants, they cannot require the hobos, the bums, the homeless to go to a worship service in order to receive food and shelter. They quit preaching to them now. Oh, I'm sure that a Salvation Army minister might on his own go to a homeless person or whatever. I'm sure they do. I give them credit for that. But remember of the old days, they would have a worship service and the homeless would go in, and then after that, they would give them food and give them shelter. Well, they can't require them to attend a worship service anymore because that would be violating the separation of church and state that's required, they say, by the Constitution. So the Salvation Army changed its way of doing things. Homeless keep coming back. The needy still get things from the Salvation Army. And as I said, if you're going to give money to anybody to help the needy, and you don't want to give it to a godly church, then give it to the Salvation Army. But isn't that a shame? I believe the Salvation Army is now in bondage to the world. There are things they can't do. When the IRS told me that I could not preach against homosexuality as a sin, I could not preach against abortion, I could not preach against what the government did in its murder of innocent people at Waco. They said I had to support all public policies of the government. They said I had to give equal time on this radio show to other religions. That's right. As a criterion for receiving tax-exempt status. And I told them, go jump, no way. I would have been in bondage to them, my friends. Bondage. The fact is, friends, listen to me. We're at loggerheads with the world. Because the world belongs to us and is under the control of Satan and not God. Most people do not understand that. Let me say it to you again. This world belongs to the devil for a little while. But you don't. Christians are exempt from the world. You're Mr. Teflon. You've got Jesus Christ. You've been chosen out of the world. You remember the story in the book of Job? Old Satan had to go before God. Oh, that's right. He's one of the servants of God. He's been defeated. And now periodically he has to make an appearance and give a report to God. You don't believe me? Friends, read the book of Job. And you know, it said, at an appointed time, the old devil went before the Lord and he knelt down. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. And the Lord began to torment him a little bit and said, what have you been doing there, devil? What are you doing, Satan? What have you been busy at? He said, well, I've been walking to and fro in the world, seeking whom I may devour. And the Lord said, really? Well, what about Job, my servant? And I suppose the Lord was having a fun time with the devil. And the devil said, well, him? Well, I can't get to him because you put a hedge of protection around him. I can't get to him, but you just take that hedge of protection around him. I'll tell you, he'll curse you. Well, it didn't work out that way. God, for his own reasons, chose to do exactly that. He dropped that hedge of protection. That's a rarity. He did it, I believe, as an example for you and me today. Even though Job became afflicted with boils and diseases and sickness, even though he lost his loved ones to death, even though he was so poor, he became a beggar on the street, he never cursed God. What an example for us. But listen to me, my friend. Unless God has some reason, like he did with Job, you've got a hedge of protection around you. You are not in bondage to this world. You cannot be polluted by the world, but you got to stay close to God. Don't stray. Don't get, you know, you've got a certain roadmap, and don't get off. Don't take a detour, my friends, because Satan is God of this world, and he's hiding around the corner. He wants you to take that detour. John wrote, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the hands of that wicked one. But there's two parts to that. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the hands of that wicked one. But friends, you're not part of the world. God has paid the price on the cross and chosen you out of the world. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4 verse 4. And that's how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, John said. You can know that you're of God. Some people say, I don't know how I can know that. You will know it if you're of God. Now, what do we do as Christians? How do we escape the bondage of the world then? It's simple as this. James 4 verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Two parts again, my friends. First, submit yourself to God, and then the devil will flee from you.
Now let's ask ourselves, what does it mean to submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There are three parts to that, are there not? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Well, in doing that, my good friends, you have to understand the incredible power and magnificence of God. And second, which seems as though it's a contradiction, certainly it's a paradox, but Paul said we must always remember and never be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, we can never understand fully the mind of God. We cannot be God. If we had the brain, the heart, the mind of God, we would be God. Certainly God made us in his likeness, but that doesn't mean he made us exactly like him. A copy is never the real thing, my friends. And experts can tell you what a copy is and what the real thing is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You see, there are many Christ, and Paul goes on to talk about that in verse 4. And he says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached," that is, the apostles have not preached, "or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received," meaning from the apostles, from the scriptures, "or another gospel which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him," bear with that person or that spirit, for anyone who comes and preaches something else. And friends, there's people out there today saying that Jesus doesn't expect Jews to accept him. Jesus is just a wonderful man, a wonderful teacher. The Muhammad advocates, the Islamic teachers, the imams would tell you that, of course, Jesus was a very wonderful prophet. And he's even coming again. And that make you believe that they're really almost Christians. But then they say, of course, he's not the Son of God. And see, in that way, they identify themselves as a son of Satan. If you say Jesus is not the Son of God, then surely you identify yourself as being in league, aligned with Satan himself. Because Satan is the accuser and the liar. And of course, Muhammad, being a disciple of Satan, was himself a liar. Now, submit yourself therefore to God. Make sure you understand the God. He cannot be a God of your own understanding. So how do you understand and make sure that you're worshiping the real God? Well, we have the Holy Bible. He is revealed to us in the Holy Bible. And when you pray, my friend, you're asking for that God, the one who is identified and revealed in the Bible, to be your Lord and Savior, and to assist and work with you and guide your life, and for you to live through him. That's really what you're asking of God. Make sure it's the right God. How can you know the God? Because there are many, many gods. The Hindus have 3 million, I've been told, deities, gods, goddesses. But there is only one true God. And God, of course, said in his Ten Commandments that he will have no other gods before him. None. Okay, the second thing it says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. How do you resist the devil? Some people believe they have to fight, they have to struggle, they have to contest with the devil. And you know, they even need to learn the names of all of the sub-demons, the inferior demons and devils, and learn their name and learn their territories. Why, learn where they live in your area and conduct spiritual warfare, prayer against them. I say baloney. You know why I say that, my friends? Don't get involved in that. Don't get involved. I mean, the devil will have you wasting your time fighting him. You say, well, it does say resist the devil. Yes, but there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Listen to the right way in the Epistle of Jude. Read verse 9. I love it. It says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not, that means dare not, bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Isn't that wonderful? Here the devil comes and he says, I want the body of Moses. Obviously, he was claiming that Moses, he wasn't a true man of God. He sinned. He wasn't perfect. I'm going to take him down to hell. I've come for his body. When Moses died, can you believe that, you know, the devil may come for your body when you die, my friends, for your soul when you die. But listen, if you belong to Jesus, Michael, the archangel, or one of the other angels is not going to let him have you. And look what Michael did. Did Michael make railing accusations against him? He didn't go into some kind of debating contest, friends. He didn't say, well, now let's come to an agreement here. Let's talk about this. He didn't try to bring out some kind of a doctrinal proof. He didn't bring up the book of the law. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. You see, even Michael, he didn't bother in rebuking the devil. The devil knew he was wrong. He's a liar. He knows. And he knows he's defeated. All Michael had to do, the archangel Michael, was say, the Lord rebuke thee. Well, now you do those two things. Submit yourself to God. Tell God you want to serve him. And do your level best to serve Jesus Christ. Pray. Pray every day. Read his word. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. How do you resist? You say, I'm not going to sin. And when you have sin in your life, friends, you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. Stay close to God. Resist the devil. When the devil bothers you, just say, the Lord rebuke you. And then go on about your way serving the Lord. Don't waste the time fighting with the devil. You take your time serving Jesus. And he will flee from you. And you will not be in bondage to the world. This is Tex Mars. And you've been listening to Bible Home Church. May God richly bless you. Until next week, we meet again.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.